Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I am trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
And who I am is Will Bluewater. This is Prophecy Keepers Radio. Osio Ogilii Tohiju Tohigu. Greetings, cousins. I'm fine. How are you? Our guest tonight is Wombly. He is a sacred shield keeper of the Sioux Nation Treaty Council. There you go. So we get the grandfather spirits going. How you doing tonight, Wombly?
Hey, doing good. Puto Ospilo.
Yeah.
Minimo Shoni. When we greet each other, I think we should just, when we come and see each other from now on, we should all say Mini Washoni. Water is
Mini
life.
Mini
Washoni. Yeah, water is life.
Yeah, you know, my dad was from Minneapolis and been to, used to go to Minnehaha Creek quite often. I started school up there in the first grade in 59, and it's a lot of beautiful water up there. And before we get rolling, Mark, I'd like to do your Mayan birth rating, and then after your duly shocked and awed, then we'll get on. I think you'll find it interesting. Go ahead, Mark.
I hang up after it.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to be hung.
All right. Well, in the traditional Mayan day count, you were born on a day 10 Chuan or 10 Bats. And it's the 10th day of the Eek cycle, which is Blue Water's birth sign.
Wow.
On 9 Eek. So the 10 kind of indicates an aspect of creativity and kind of the flowing ebb and flow and movement of creativity within creation itself. So the other one, the bats part, which is the glyph, the 10 is the day number. The bats or the chuan has to do with the kind of time, what we'd call kind of like destiny, and the weaving of history, and for us, especially humanity, within that weaving of creation, of humanity's history within that creation. So, and the Eek part of it that governs all that would be the spirit. So your part would be a little bit more of the concept of how spirit works with our world and the weaving of our history and humanity, a little bit more from the spiritual side of things sometimes, not that our regular physical side isn't important, but yours will lean a little bit more towards the spiritual side.
Gets me in trouble every time.
Huh?
I said, that gets me in trouble every time.
Yeah.
Me too.
Now we'll switch.
Yeah.
Gears, and we're going to be looking at your birth from the perspective of the sixth sun or next world cycles calendar, Zolkin. And it's going to have three components: a forward flow of time, the way we normally look at time, the backward flow of time, which our senses cannot detect, but our psychic senses, our spiritual senses can detect this. And then where these two time flows, backward and forward, come together and create a balance or a unity. So we'll do the forward flow first, and the way we normally. So this is going from your birth forward, or maybe even a little bit before your birth. and then it has to do with influencing things and wisdom, opening up pathways, kind of how things have a positive and negative, and the challenge of dealing with those and balancing with those with the wisdom and opening up pathways. And a lot here about, just creation, artisticness, gracefulness, stuff like that. As a component here, it looks like it's tied in with the planet Venus or morning star. It's also sitting in a cycle, which is the Chuan or the Bat cycle that we just talked about before in your traditional Mayan birth, and going into things which kind of bring us again to the spiritual side of things with the wisdom and what most people would think of kind of almost as like mystical powers, you know, beyond supernatural or something like that being brought in here a little bit along with the wisdom and such. And it has a purpose of it, and that's for action, something to happen, some action to occur, not just sit back and just that, but definite go out and get something done with this. So it has a very distinct purpose there. On the backward flow, this is stuff that may be showing up in your life more recently. So usually tend to say around 1997, 1998 time frame, maybe a little bit before, a little bit after. But it's more about survival instinct, sacred, using sacred power and energies, liberation of things, both personally and on a bigger level. And the bigger level is Earth. And not just Earth, but Earth in the context of the movement and its relationship in creation, thought, and consciousness itself. So it's more than just what people say, Mother Earth. It's a little bit more than that because it's the same thing. You have kind of the physical body, the thing that we normally think of, but you also have a spiritual component to the planet. And things that you may have noticed in your life, things like synchronicities, just kind of unusual things happening that make kind of connections in different ways that start to make sense, but they're, you know, kind of unusual. And they may be connections that may just be, you know, stuff that people say, names of books, something shows up here or there, people just show up, or it could be just also connections that bridge the physical and the spiritual, or the dreams, or in ceremony or something, just different kinds of connections just kind of all coming together. And it may have some certain name or keyword or something that makes that connection obvious. And some of those things by themselves wouldn't make sense, but when you see them, the thing that connects them all, that is the key point. That would be the thing that makes you realize how they're all related. Now, and some of those will be in just in thought and consciousness or awareness itself. It has a aspect here of learning how to synchronize things, putting things into balance, harmony with creation, and literally synchronizing or getting in sync with Creator. How things work, how things flow, will be an important part of this, of tying that into the life energy and sacred power back into liberation, instinct, surviving, all that stuff. It has another component sitting up on another higher level, even higher, that's about a spiraling radial light. In Lakota tradition, this would relate to what they call skonskon. Now, where these two time flows, forward and backwards, come together, yours is, that's kind of like a gateway or a bridge or a zero point or balancing point that brings you into kind of the stillness of creation itself. And this helps you, but it also can be something that these are things that you can use to bring other people along with you, along that bridge or gateway or doorway or. And it's all about peace, in one word. Peace, having hope, a kind of a childlike thinking, and but also using this to bring about joy and forgiveness, as those things as a healing process. And this thing about the polarity and the challenge of dealing with positive, negative, hot, cold, female, male, all that type of stuff is sitting up at another higher level, so that indicates dealing with that kind of balancing and stuff will be brought into that healing context, and that creates a peace to be able to create that balance. And so that would be something I would expect maybe you're learning about, and you also have appears that you have a capability of doing those things and then bringing that to other people and helping them to heal, use peace and forgiveness and all that stuff. That makes sense?
All that stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, stuff. Okay, that's all right.
Yeah,
don't eat the stuffing at Thanksgiving. We're good. Okay. Yeah.
Well, if you would, just kind of let your mind wander and let spirit speak through you and tell us about yourself and where you've been and where you're going.
Well, Okay, well, that was a really interesting bio about me, I guess, spiritual one. And, you know, I guess a lot of it, you know, is really, you know, kind of close to my person, my personality, you know, and what I do, you know. I mean, what God tries to do with me when I let him. And so that gets back to a lot of things, you know. You know, it's really important, you know, to treat the earth well, you know. You know, it wasn't given to us by our parents, and it wasn't loaned to us. It was loaned to us by our children, you know. So we don't inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children, you know. And so that's the concept, you know, Lakota's kind of understand. And then we understand that, you know, for myself, you know, I understand in 97 I had a great gift that was given to me by God and, you know, Wakatanka and Tonka. And it really changed a lot of things about my life and really brought me to understand, you know, what I'm supposed to do later on, what I've been doing since then, you know. And it's been, you know, the journey, I guess, for Indian people, you know, it's, you know, we don't move through the world like, you know, dominant society, you know, we never did, you know, we're really connected to the feelings about, you know, a higher being, you know, that we call creator. And, and we feel that, you know, in everything, you know, that sense of serenity and the sense of sitting together or sitting alone, you know, maybe on the hillside doing our fast. We make that connection, you know, and it's so important, you know, our kids, they, you know, the way America is, you know, they lost that, you know, a lot, you know, they don't take the time to rest and to reconnect to the life forces that avail them the strength to keep going, you know, and to keep providing more creativity for the future of the children. But, you know, for myself, it's been like that. You know, I was, you know, my background has been a real tough one, you know. I probably don't want to go through it, all of it, but... it hasn't been easy, but it's been something that, you know, that I had to go through. And it was, I wouldn't say it was God's will, you know. I think a lot of it is, you know, society decided for the Indian people what they wanted to do with us, you know. And since they decided that, they haven't changed too much their opinions about it, you know. They taught the children well, you know, not to really, you know, to shut down and really... And all of us, you know, we're all, you know, we're domesticated at every level of our lives. We're separated from each other, you know, because of this, you know, this world of consumerism and the material world and gaining things instead of giving things, you know. All these values, you know, that we've, our traditional and our old ones and our grandpa and grandmas and, you know, we love them. They gave us great lessons of life, you know, and stories and traditional stories. And that's what's real exciting. I hope everyone out there, you know, really, you know, as we come together on this pipeline and we're finding the dream coming true, you know, it ain't coming true in the way we thought under these circumstances, but it is. And maybe this is how it's supposed to come to an understanding of really what we're standing against, you know, and what we need to prepare ourselves, what we need to do collectively, not just our race, the red race, but all colors of man and all nations of man who are still sovereign, who still, you know, feel strongly about that, you know, about that connection to their own homelands, you know, and all those resources that God has created and given to all of us freely. And so, you know, we want the whole universe, you know. We want the whole universe to hear our voices again as one, you know. We want God to hear us as one again, you know, as one one people of the natural world, you know, and who really understands that his life lives within every living thing, you know, plants and trees. I mean, they couldn't exist without his spirit. But my own life has been, you know, I've worked with a lot of people. Like I said, I worked with Clifford White Eyes and from Rosemont, Shishkone, elder and a chief, and some other men that I know, old men, you know, the old traditional people, and you know, we're all kind of waiting. You know, we've been, you know, our ancestors been waiting for justice, really. The ones that's passed, they really want that, and we want to see them have that. That time that, you know, all their lives that were taken from them, you know, for no reason, you know. You know, I really think they're not really going to be at peace until we here are keep doing what we're doing, you know, and coming together and having this dialogical journey into where we're at as humanity and where we need to go, how we proceed that way. I think that we have the lessons, you know, the things that God needs at this time, at this age that we're in, to share with the world now. I think that they're willing to hear these sacred understandings of how the indigenous mind and heart and world and that connection, how that's something that is really needed now for to sustain us spiritually, but also to motivate us, you know, physically, to get out there and do things beyond our ability. You know, we want our youth to know back home, you know, back in Sioux Place, you know, back at home, you know, in Pine Ridge and throughout, you know, the Dakotas and Canada, well, everywhere, right? Turtle Island, you know. Our youth, you know, they really don't understand. They have a great future, but and it's great because we have to suffer. We have to work harder than everyone else to see it come to pass. We have to do
things. Hi, folks. This is Blue Otter. As we've had a
sorry about that. I was trying to queue up something. Did that by accident. Sorry for the interruption.
That's all right. And so I don't want to be mumbling, but you know, our children really need. Right now, what's going on is really what Black Elk said was going to happen, and it's happening. You know, our children back home on Pine Ridge, it's really desperate. You know, it's been for years, you know, waiting for America to fulfill those promises and to meet our needs, you know, economically and financially and with good leadership, you know. But, you know, like every other people that's ever been oppressed by any empire, any situation with an authoritarian government, you know, this whole concept is a economical one, you know, of life. But so it's been really hard for us, you know. But you know, our kids are getting lost into the dominant society thing, you know. And when they do that, they're trying to find their individuality, but I think they do, but it don't go nowhere because their people ain't with them, you know. They're all that was left from us by those way back then, so that we could have the strength and the creativity and the visions and the dreams again. You know, those are kind of, you know, dominant society has kind of taken that dream away from our children, you know, and so we want them to dream again, and they're gonna, you know, and I don't know, I see so many beautiful things, and I met so many beautiful people. That's all I can say, you know. I mean, you know, I met doctors and lawyers, great people, famous people, not so famous people, you know, the down and out, you know. And I'm telling you, every one of them has a purpose, has their lives is so meaningful, and God has made it that way, you know, and made it good. He created every one of us good, you know, a good being. And so, you know, but society, you know, the way we're living now, you know, I mean, it's just not logical to live on this planet that's a living,
yeah,
a We can't. It's not logical to, you know, there's for imperialism or all these concepts of Euro-American or, those kind of things from the past. You know, I mean we're way advanced now. Our children are, but the parents and others ain't catching up to them. You know, I mean, they're seeing things, but they don't know how to really access it. You know. Because the parents, our traditions are kind of being lost, you know, and kind of being exploited for the comfy jobs and the fame and the prestige and being the super Indian, you know, or the super medicine man or whatever, you know. I mean, we get so consumed. This is why at the Battle of Little Bighorn, God told Sitting Bull to let our people know not to take anything from those soldiers after we have killed them. And he knew they were going to die, and we were going to survive that. He gave us that victory, but our people went and started messing around with that stuff. You know, they did opposite of what the Creator really wanted them to do, for their own protection, for their own sanity. And as you see now, we're kind of sucked into it. You know, we kind of little by little they chip away at us. You know, just the physical man by the you know, depriving us what God's already given us, and then spiritually we die too. You know, so we're like that. But there is a spiritual awakening. I mean, it happened during, you know, Wounded Knee with AIM and Belcourt and all these great men that, you know, went out there, these young men, the youth, you know. They saw an injustice and they came from all walks of life. And yeah, they weren't the smartest, and they weren't the educatedest, and they weren't all these great things America says you got to be to do anything, to accomplish anything that's supernatural, that's beyond what man can do here in this country or what anybody's ever done. You know, they don't want us to know about those things, but they are. Our kids are, and they have that ability. But now they need the elders to really understand kids how, and they can, if they can't accept the structure of society that's really destroying them. You know, if the IRA, the U.S. federal government, and all those agencies that oversee our people and really kind of control our lives and really abuse us and neglect us and forfeit things of ours without our even knowing about it, the people collectively. So there's a lot of injustice all around. And so for myself, you know, I felt that as a young Lakota son, you know, young man, you know, it was really hard, and I got into drinking and all the things that you would do in dominant white society, I probably did. And I did more of my share, but I came to a point in my life, you know, that I had to stop because I was going to just destroy everything and everybody around me. And so I decided to quit drinking. You know, it's been 24 years. I don't drink and I don't do drugs and all that stuff, you know, and I try not to do things that I try not to hurt people anymore. I really try to be mindful of people's feelings, because I know everyone's broken, everyone's fragile, and when you become a healer or a medicine person, this is the first thing you know. You learn from God that people are very fragile. They're very mentally, psychologically, they could be the smartest people in the world, but to him, they're still his children, or they're like little children. When they talk, you know, sometimes they don't know what they're saying, like little children, you know. And so we have to wait, you know, within our way of life, it takes a lot of patience, you know. You see, the real old ones are very patient people, you know, and that comes in as you get old. But I want to tell the youth, you know, you're young out there, you have a future. All my Sioux people, all my nation, my Oyate back there, and the Seven Council Fire back home, but it's spreading across the whole world now, you know. I mean, the fire
That's right.
is lit. The fire actually spiritually God lit it during my vision when I brought back the sacred shield to Bear Butte. Nobody knew about it, you know. I mean, it had to be that way, but You know, I'll share that story later, but when that shield, you know, came back, you know, all these natural disasters started happening. There was a flood in North Dakota, I think, the day after, and since then the earth has been, you know, awakened for her time to be renewed, reborn again, you know, be healed. She wants to be. She's tired. That's why you get all this stuff on it. She's really groaning to God, too, and crying, come help me, Creator, because they're killing me. You know, they can't stop taking from you and taking from me without any regard of our feelings. And see, I mean, when people are disconnected from God so much, I mean, dominant society and this world is just consuming each other like, you know, like termites, you know, like the forest. You know, we got to quit depleting the forest. We not only for the water, we got the forest is so important. The trees and the plant life and all these medicines. I mean, we're going to have to figure out a way. You know, hopefully this is the year that the Creator is going to really move upon our nations all over the earth to understand we have to come together. And some of us from the indigenous side of things, you know, from the ones who, you know, who always got their ass kicked, butt kicked, you know, and still getting our butts kicked. Some of us, you know, some of those things he's allowed. It's not his will, but he's allowed it. To correct America, to correct those people that do things that are self-destructive to them, you know. But yes, like you said, when you were doing my reading, forgiveness is a very big thing, you know. And I know our young kids, you know, they're bitter, and they have a right to be pissed off, you know what I mean? But they got to understand that. Become, you know, like the old people, you know, you have to really sit down by yourself and out on Mother Earth and really just take it easy and listen to the bees and watch the butterflies go back and watch the Lycaons, the thunderclouds come in from the west, heading towards the east in the evening, whatever. You know, you have to be aware of the natural world. You have to really spend time with her to really understand yourself, everybody. Not just Indian people, but whites. They're losing such a connection to and the plan of God for their lives because they forfeited so much for their own pleasures, their own indulgence, you know, and to be selfish, you know. And so these ain't our concepts. Traditional people are not selfish people. And, you know, the thing about our people, our race, is that through all this, we have nothing, but we share what we have, what little. We give out of our poverty, and we always have. And even though that, you know, people are treating us so bad within the system, within the federal government, and being mean and unjust and neglectful and just hateful towards our existence, you know, we have always been thankful for our life to God as a people and grateful and gratitude for the smallest little things we could get. Even if it was $5 for gas, just to get to some bread to the store or whatever we had to do, because that's how we live. The real people back home, they really will really need the help. You know, the majority of them have little to nothing at all. And so I want to change that, you know. And we can't do it, you know, we can't do it through, if we're not autonomous, if we're not generally autonomous, self-determined, self-sustaining, self-dependent nationhoods that can create those opportunities for our kids through our own value systems, through our own belief systems. But America don't want us to do that, the U.S., because, you know, the bigger picture right now, you know, the big talk is the, you know, they want a centralized government for everyone, and we don't want that, because when you lose your sovereignty, you lose your individuality, you lose your communities, you lose a lot of things, and you're no longer in control of your own destiny as a people, as a race of people, upon your own homelands, no matter if it's here or in Europe or wherever, Africa, wherever around this planet. So it was God's intent to keep us all sovereign, right? He wants us to be sovereign individual nationhoods. And the reason he did that is keep us all accountable to one another for how we're going to treat this planet.
That's right.
And we need to have that in place, that we're all nations are responsible for the safeguard and the revitalization and the restoration of our planet, which we can do. And there's no way we can go forth, you know. The Creator does not want us to go forth with fossil fuels. You know, we have the technology, we have the minds, and we have all the things we need to have alternative energy sources that, you know, could be free. Change this whole world, you know. But we need a philosophy. We need a moral understanding of how we're going to, you know, collectively, science and scientists and lay people and all people, how we're going to approach this together now. Because of the planet and humanity right now, we're in such great danger right now, you know. It is. It's and we don't realize it, you know, because people just keep going. But if they'd slow down and really took time for themselves to really understand who they are and what their really purpose is here on this earth is, until they do that, they're really, you know, it's not hopeful, you know, for them. But and so, you know, my belief is that before America, you know, before our people, you know, we're really trying to free ourselves from so much stuff right now, you know, and they keep attacking us, you know, always our sovereignty, always our land and resources and what little we have to sustain us as a race of people. They're always trying to slowly chip away at that, you know, and some way try to, they break their own laws, you know, they can get away with it, as you see at the pipeline and with the North Dakota governor and all these people, you know. They're breaking every constitutional law, every Indian policy and rule and regulation, you know, left and right. But that's how the U.S. government, that white part of that society that's very biased and very selfish, you know, it's how they always been, but it's been detrimental not only to Indian people, but it's brought all America to a place where there's no way we can keep going on without soon destroying everything. I mean, everything. And it'll be by our own choice. And that's not logical to me. That's
crazy.
So it's not logical, you know. I mean, so we have right now what you're seeing happening all over, and I want our youth to know this, all over Canada and South America, and that is something so powerful. God has, you know, God favors us. The Creator has favored our people for this time. Because when they thought we were down and out, we didn't have nothing to give, we have something to give. Even though they're still mistreating us, we still have something to give to the world, you know. And it's something to share with them, to help them, to start this healing process and this reconnecting process to the greater humanity that lives in all of us, you know. And so this is what, you know, this is what the Chinupa is about, you know. And it's not about religions, okay? It's about our prayer, praying together and maintaining. See, back there at Sacred Stone right now, it's so spiritual. I mean, they don't know it. It's really rough physically, but spiritually and internally, each individual there is gaining so much from the other side of this world, you know, from the spiritual world. The things you're going to need when things get really tough, you know. And they're going to be our leaders, you know. And they're from all races now. You see all this leadership up there, you know. We have leaders. And so this is exciting, you know, for me. And I worked all my life since a little child. My first vision, I was 5 years old, four or five, and I was at the Battle of the Little Bighorn. And got knocked off my horse, and a warrior came riding up with a lance and a headdress, a staff, and he was waving me, and he was saying, "Come on, Cahoga, into the battle, come back into the battle, get up and fight," you know. So since then, I've been fighting. I've been fighting to live, you know. And it's very dangerous for our people, you know, as you know. You know, it shouldn't be. This is just ridiculous that all America really want to take a stance where they don't want to know us. They could care less if we live or die. Why? What did we do to them? We gave them our lives. You know, our parents gave them their lives. We gave them everything God gave us, we had to give to them. And sometimes we just gave because we just wanted to give, and we still do that. Even though we're mistreated and persecuted like this, you know? I mean, that's the power of our people. That's the power of our history and what God's given us that America and all their money don't have. And that's what our youth need to understand. Our culture is so important for the survival of the human race. Every culture is. I don't care if it's European or African. Every culture is so essential and so interconnected into a greater understanding of how reality really fits together and how we're supposed to correspond to it on a human level with it, you know, relating to that life force that holds us all in a vision of hope, of recreating and recreating more freedom and helping our children to do these things, you know. And from our people, you know, this, you know, if the world's going to heal, they really need to take the leadership of our race. I mean, take the advice of some of our men. I'm not saying all of them, because a lot of them have really made bad choices, and they got involved in something they shouldn't be involved in. And it's still hurting us, and it's actually killing us. But I ain't here to point fingers at my people, you know. They're all being victimized, and the system of America is structured like that. So we need to change that if we're going to save America. You know, we're going to save, and when I say America, all the melting pot, you know, of people who are here now, they're important. They're important for the future, and their children are very important. And they have a lot of the answers that we're going to need for the future to heal this world and to self-sustain it in a way that's moral and ethical and compassionate to those little things that are around us that are living, you know, and to protect their water. You know, I mean, this is the lowest thing we could ever do for Americans, white America, to stand back and let their waters be so destroyed by this government, these Congress and senators, you know. We're standing back and doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. We just do nothing. But think about making more money. But the world ain't made out of money. God didn't have money to make this planet. He didn't need that. And so we don't need their money to recreate the future in the image of God's desire and his diverse world that it's beautiful, it's blooming, and it's there every day. Well, the kids gotta understand they can't live in two worlds, you know. You know, they gotta come back home and really try to understand themselves by living with their people first and really finding out their needs and really then deciding to go to school and get an education and really understand we're not here to play games, you know. We're here fighting for the survival of our race of people, our red race of people, you know, of Turtle Island, and all those who are descendants, you know, and all those who ain't, you know. We're here for humanity, our people, at this time, you know. And so we don't have money, but we do have our heart. And so kids got to, you know, We want to be honest as parents, and we want to start speaking from our hearts. It's not about who's right or wrong, you know. It's about there's a lot of solutions we do have, you know. And some ain't so, you know, some of the solutions are solutions, but they're not solutions people want to get involved in, like getting rid of the IRA government.
Hey, you might explain to folks about Indian Reorganization Act.
Yeah, well, that's a policy that gave us the ability to be sovereign nations and manage our own affairs. It was supposed to, right? After the allotment, you know, and so they wanted to. They want to simulate us more and domesticate us more, you know, by creating this kind of puppet kind of government that gave us some kind of judiciary powers over our lives, and it really don't, because it's just another scheme, a way to get over on us, right? And so here we are. And you see the division. There is division. I mean, they made movies of it, like Thunderheart, right? Well, that shit's real. I mean, that stuff is real. Excuse my language. But that stuff is really, really happening. And see, a lot of our traditional people back home and all over, we know that there's a time we're all going to come together. And it's going to be the Creator that does it. We're going to know, you know, our ancestors, the spirits, all those helpers of God, you know, are going to let us know this is it. This is the place we need to be now. We need to forego everything else that we're involved in this world and set some time for ourselves as a people, maybe the last time as a people on this planet and with our children, because things are winding down, see? Like I said, it's not logical. We can't proceed to live and exist on this planet when we're all hating each other, you know what I mean? It just can't happen no more. It's just, if we got it, parents and nations and men, and they all got to understand this is it. It's up to them to change their behavior, how they're gonna walk and tread upon this sacred planet, how they're going to interact with her and with the rest of her children here, and how they're going to start listening, you know. See, General Custer, we had to open his ears up. Yeah. Unplugged his ears, because that guy would never listen to us. He didn't think we had anything worth listening about. And so you saw what he did to us. He could care less. So when we killed him, we unplugged his ears, you know. They pierced his eardrums. And so in the next world, that he'd be able to hear us when we're over there.
Yeah, that's right.
And understand what we were trying to tell him when he was back here. And so, but, you know, this goes for all the General Custers out there now. You know, we don't have to use that kind of method God doesn't have to use that kind of method to get you guys to hear us anymore. He's not gonna. You know, the Creator, he's just not gonna do it. And, for some of us, you know, I'm glad people don't really see how bad it really is, and they can get on with life and have Christmas, have these holidays, and have so much fun, you know. That's cool. You know, but there's other things that really need to be addressed right now besides that. You know, it's great to have NFL football games and all that. All these sports are all needed to keep people occupied, interested in life and creative. But there's a time for everything, you know. Right now, mankind and in this society and the world and all the people are within this country, they need to drop what they're doing for a while and really start holding their country accountable for their future, for the lives of their children and for the survival of America. Because this is a democratic system, it's a free society. If it ain't going to be free, it's going to get terrible. You know, there's people who are not going to stand for that. They're just not. And you don't want a pissed off white man. You know what I mean? once he gets going, man, you know how it is. You can't stop him. That's why America's a superpower of the world. The white Americans here are tough, but they go overboard, you know. They don't have no temperance and no compassion, and if they lost all those human things that they need to really truly be warriors or soldiers of truth and justice, you know, not corruption and taking advantage of people, you know, who are weaker than you. But America's in big trouble. So it's doing really, these leadership is doing such terrible atrocities, not only to us, but it's you know, it's rippling out throughout the whole world now, right? It started with us, and it's just a rippling effect of these ideas and these belief systems that keep on destroying everything good about a human being and about his future and about the world and about the earth and about all the things that we need, the water of life, you know. And God is the water of life, you know. He you know, without his, you know, he's our spiritual water, you know. And so we need him, but we also need the physical water too. And it needs to be clean and pure, you know. So, you know, I mean, there's so many things that are happening all at once right now. But I want everyone to know God, the Creator himself, is really with us, man. I'm telling you, big time. And with those protectors, with our brothers back at Sacred Stone, everywhere. You know, we can't do it all, you know. So, you know, we can't do nothing unless he does it in us and uses us. So we have to keep praying and ask God to keep using us to do these things that are impossible against such odds against us. I mean, we got a man coming into office that, you know, it doesn't look good for a free societies anymore, or for democratic societies. Of cooperation and tolerance and a freedom of visions, of dreams, to recreate more freedoms in a more liberated world that people can all be accepted. These are all our teachings, I'm telling you. You know, I'm just telling you in a white man's way, I guess. But this is how our ancestors felt, you know. They were life builders. They weren't life takers. Remember that. You know, you'll hear a lot of stories before the golden age of how we used to live. We didn't live killing each other in that war all the time. It wasn't like that. The white man taught us that shit. You know what I mean? He taught us all the things that we shouldn't be doing. That's why we're so violent. Our kids get in trouble and they can't respect their parents. They're finding their manhood in their oppressor. And they got to understand, you can't find your manhood in your oppressor or any of his antics to program you to separate you from your own fucking reality. You know, and I'm sorry for my language. I get upset when I think about it. I shouldn't say it. I'm sorry to everyone out there. I'll watch my language. But, you know, I'm kind of an outlaw, you know, so I'm sorry about that. But
sometimes you got to say it.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm pretty good at, you know, not being like that. But lately, you know, I think for all of us, it's really stressful right now, especially back home and stuff, in the sense that we're still facing an adversary that's not giving up on destroying this country and taking away everyone's freedom and everyone's homes. And so I mean, if they're gonna destroy our people once and for all and take away our sovereignty, and if they think they're gonna still use these puppet BIA governments that keep stealing from us and setting us up with other corporations to steal from us and keep on playing the people, you know, using our resources. Money that we saw that was a trade, and the treaties ain't giving us nothing free. We're giving them something free. We're giving them the right to live here free. But if they can't respect that life, they won't be here living here free and they won't be alive. And as you see, they're not, because they don't hear us. They don't hear the people who are poor. There's a war against the poor all over this planet. And these corporations and these state people, you know they can get over on them if they take their lands and privatize and say, it belongs to me, it never belonged to you. What kind of country, what kind of civilized society would let people in leadership of the free world act this way, behave this way? It's insulting to freedom. It's insulting to everybody who died for this country, for the Constitution of the United States. You know, and all the laws that were created here, they were off from our governing system. Every way they've learned to govern Euro-Americans, and remember that. You took that from us, too. And you destroyed that. And now you're going to kill that, and you want something new so you can have more control over people who have nothing. You can abuse them more, neglect them more, abandon them more. You know, this country is just, I mean, society in general, just everybody, every taxpayer, they're just socially, you know, desensitized to their host, to the people here that they should have the most gratitude and gratefulness for, you know, for all that we have been through so that they could live free. They could even dream free and maybe really free the world. Oh, you know, it could come from anybody, from any race, any country. They can come here and be able to explore the possibilities of solutions to preserve and self-sustain us and this planet and every living thing. I mean, this is what it's about. It's exciting. You know, it ain't about living like that and doing it that way, because no one's excited. The life is in the circle that God brings life to, that we allow each individual to say, hey, this is what I need now. I don't need that no more. I that's it for that life. No, I'm inside a paradigm of life, and I want to stay there, and I want to go through these rites of passage, you know, fighting with myself, denying myself so the Spirit of God lives greater in me and in the circle. And as that happens, you know, all those gifts come to a realization that it's God giving me. Now I can use them to make a greater awareness of our traditional world, of our value system that can save this earth and save the world and heal it. All our true teachings and everything that we understand about our Creator that we understood long ago and our in the Creator, in the creation. Her mother, that someday is going to be his wife, you know, with us. We're like his woman down here, you know, the earth and us. We're his woman. We're God's woman. He's going to come and get us. But he's going to heal us, too, before he gets us. And so that's what we got seeing happening here, healing. And that's what we really need to get to. The pipeline's going to stop if we start healing ourselves individually and coming together all over the world. And praying together and really knowing that we're, you know, and opening our hearts up to God, you know, he just wants to give us things, you know. He ain't holding nothing against any individual for how much he's done wrong, you know. He wants to forgive him and say, hey, come on, get up and let's get together with people who are on this path of liberating Earth, this planet, from all this unnecessary harm. And the misdirected animosity, you know. My parents, my grandmother was Eva Nichols. A lot of people know her back in Rapid City. She helped a lot of our people. She's done a lot. And my uncle was Ramon Rubin, who was first American Indian attorney. So he was a pilot in Green War. He's awesome attorney. No, that was back then, and those racism was really bad back then. You can go into any place if you're an Indian around South Dakota, North Dakota. But see, that mentality, that racism and all that ignorance is still there with the, you know, with North Dakota's, you know, these are the descendants of those who perpetrated the first Holocaust upon us. And they desensitized, you know, their children are desensitized to it. They're ignorant of it. How politically and legally it's still doing that to us, you know, and it's up to them to stop it. Or they're going to destroy themselves and us and the rest of humanity. America will. Not Russia, not Israel. America's going to do this. These leaders, this Republican leadership in the Congress, they're going to be held to God. Just like their ancestors were, for everything they've done on our covenant red homelands. God never changed his mind. This is still our land, our continent. He never changes his mind. You know, God doesn't hire thieves to come and take something that already belongs to him. That's a waste of time. This is his land. He entrusted it to our race of people, you know, to help the world, though. Not to take from it, to help it, to make it bloom, and to make it, to let it know that there's greater things that we can accomplish yet, you know, if we had the moral willingness to come together in the wisdom and the strength to say no to that, to this world that keeps fighting us. You know, this country, you know, this love-hate going to, you know. America needs to find forgiveness, white America. It really does, and it's there. It's there. God wants them to forgive them for what they've done to us and what they're still doing and what they're doing to themselves. God, the Creator really wants to forgive them, and he wants to see them well, their children, and he wants to see them hand-in-hand and heart-to-heart with our people. Trying to save the rest of this planet, the natural world, the children's and their future, leaving something for them that they can just make it more beautiful. And not for ourselves, but for the Creator. We're doing, you know, people to be a person that, you know, it's just a hollow bone, you know. You just got to be willing, you know, all the time, whatever God's will. You got to be committed to that. Whether it's getting sober, whether it's quitting swearing, you got to say to yourself, you know, I'm committed to change. I'm committed to be more of a human being and civil, respectful to those who are around me. To be so considerate of women and children, you know, And children are so important, man. I mean, when you get older, you have such a different appreciation for children. You know? I mean, they're everything, man. I mean, getting older, if I didn't have young people around me and just these old farts around me, I that don't know nothing, you know, I'd die. You know? I'd be really sad. So our children are everything. And our people really need to understand. Parents really need to slow down and stop. I call everybody all over the world. I'm calling you again, you know, to come to Sacred Stone this, and help us. We can end this war here, right here at Sacred Stone with America and what they're doing the rest around the world. They come here in peace, you know. We cannot strike back. We can't be antagonists. We can't behave like them. We cannot show that kind of behavior, our young people, to strike back. It ain't going to work. It never worked. We've got to stop this idea that war is like a duty. It's like normal. War is not fucking normal. War is not normal, okay?
That's right.
It's not human. It's not normal, and it's not spiritual. You know, it's none of those things. It's everything opposite of that. But what we're having back at Sacred Stone is spiritual, and we should. Oh man, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, man, a lot of our leaders that I knew Vine Deloria Jr., he was a friend of mine. I know Sam English. I know a lot of great men, you know. I do. I've been able, having nothing, being a poor Indian from Pine Ridge and out there, you know. You know, got to meet such great people, you know. And I'm always excited to meet greater people. I mean, just there's those people, but there's greater people in that people don't even know among us, you know. We're going to be great. These children, you know, like music, okay? Music. I went to the thing that's never, the music is just getting great. These young people, you know, the lyrics and what they're bringing out and everything, you know. We need that. We need our spiritual stuff, but we need a variety of things, you know, to keep us interested in life and expressing it in a good way amongst each other and just getting filled up by it, you know what I mean? It's powerful. When people tolerate and people come together and really, you know, quit being afraid of each other and really want to try to know somebody that you would never think, you know, that'd be the hardest thing for us, to go up to a person that we looked up to, we put him on his pedestal, and we said, we can't approach that person because he's a king. Well, that's what people do, but that ain't how it should be. That's not reality. You know, and we shouldn't put ourselves in that place, you know, where we're bigger than somebody else because of our accomplishments. That don't make us bigger. In this society, it makes you dumber. But
yeah.
It seems like, you know. But anyways, you know, I mean, the greatest minds I ever met are not educated people. They don't have PhDs. Really. I'm not shitting you. And I rode with a man named Buffalo Heart, Gary Silk. We did these prayer rides and we did these things, you know, for the future of our people. And we need to keep doing those things. Get the kids on the horses. I want to start, you know, my friend Buffalo Heart, we want to start horse camps in his honor, in his name, all over the country to bring inner city kids and res kids together and start understanding, you know, the horse, but also themselves and what they're here to do.
Yeah, you gotta stop making decisions about your horses.
Yeah. Well, you just don't beat a horse, whatever I say, you know. I'll tell you a story what happened to me. Maybe this is the last thing I can tell you. You know, I don't know what to really say. You know, all the colors and the fire, you know, all our teachings about medicine and the circle life and how we do our ceremony, all these things are so important now that we keep doing them. But we do them because we want to see people get well. We really do. We want to get well, but we want to see people recover from such nonsense, you know, societal, you know, oppression and degradation to their lives and the theft of their humanity. And it has to start with our people, and it can, but it has to start with white dominant America, white society too. We really need them and the other races to understand that if we don't take a different approach to and understand there's a the existence that we're living is not the existence God gave us. And so we have to take on this new existence spiritually. You know? And, you know, we know these other nations that are more powerful than us, you know, are fighting among themselves, you know. We're just small little nations, you know. We don't have all that money and all that power and all those means to overtake each other, and we wouldn't want that. We don't need that. We have a creator who's more powerful than all that, all their technology. Matter of fact, I've seen it myself, but I did a 900-mile ride back to Bear Butte from Cannonball, out there where they got the pipeline back in 2007, I think, with Buffalo Heart. We took a bunch of young guys came with us. My Oyate came and they helped Buffalo Heart, and we rode this ride. Well, it took us 30 days to get there, and it was about 130 degrees 1 week. We had to stay at Greengrass, where the sacred pipe is, the calf pipe, for a week because it was just too hot to ride with the horses. So it was really a hard repair ride, you know. And when we go on these rides, we don't want CDs. We don't want none of the convenience of society. Everything's done traditionally, you know, and we don't want nothing to distract us on that prayer, you know, anything from the outside. So we don't bring radios and we don't listen to radios. We sing our tradition. We keep everything, you know, traditional, and we're there to learn. And that's why I always go, I'm always wanting to learn something, you know. I mean, that's the fun of it. You learn something new. For me, it is, at least. So, we rode this ride, and we got down to Bear Butte, and about the last day, you know, I got to have a few words with everyone that was there, you know. We had Carter camp there, and we had Carter, and we had, I think we had Dennis was there, and Russell was alive, he was there, and we had Roy Claude there, and all these men were there, and I was giving this talk to everybody at the end of the ride, the last day. Everyone broke up, you know, and as I'm talking, you know, I'm looking across from me, and some of my friends are over on the other side kind of pointing with their lips and backing me, you know, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. So I'm looking at them, and I'm thinking, what? So I stopped talking, and just to look back, you know, and I see four horses coming down behind me in a single line. Well, each one of those horses, there was four flags, and then there was four warriors in front of the flags on the inside of this canopy, this arbor. And, these horses came outside the arbor, but they all turned and symmetrical and stood before a flag, you know, as I was talking, you know, and stood there. But the thing about it is every one of those horses was one of the horses I rode when I came down on that ride. Now, they all turned and they stood there until I was done talking, you know what I mean? And so when I left, I whistled to Three Socks. I said, Three Socks, it's going. And they turned just like in the regiment, you know, in the army battalion, man, and they just followed me right out of there, you know what I mean? And so those are the kind of things that happen, you know. And we see those. There's other stories greater than that. Other people do, you know, and ancestors. But God does that through us. And he does that through us to remind the people we do have power. We do have power, but there's a way to get it. And it's got to be a selfless way. You got to be really understand that you're here for something very important. Every individual, their lives are so essential to the survival of all of us and how we're going to conduct our lives, behave with each other, and plan what we can do collectively to make humanity and the future better for humanity. You know, this is what it's about in our way. We never lost that. We've not been able to share it, though, you know, because there was a time that would be able, the world would be able to, you know, digest it, regurgitate it, and really process this, you know. But it would take an event, you know, it would come to a place, a time where man's at his end, you know. Man cannot live without God and without Mother Earth and without all our animal relatives, you know. And without clean water, you know, you're done. I mean, it's just logical. So, you know, it's the majority that really have the power of Earth, who, not the 1% who have the money. It's those who have the prayer and the understanding of how important it is to find unity, camaraderie, and understand we're here to democratize this planet, to free it, to liberate it, and to bring healing to it and an understanding of our place with it, you know, for the future of our children, so that they know what they're here for and what they can do, and how it just keeps going. And it could reciprocating this kind of generosity of life over and over again. And this is the existence that God's going to, the Creator's going to bring. But this is one we can start working on now before He comes. This is what, that's, this is a preparation plan individually, collectively. Like at these, when we go to these places, we're making a stand against something that is unjust. And it's dehumanizing, degrading, demeaning to an individual or to a community or to the future of the children, you know. These are the kind of things that God sees that are worthy. These are the worthy. These are His works. These are what He asks us to do. And so this is what we have to do. Understand, come to grips as in the 21st century, this is a century of the red race. I'm telling you. The red people, the liberation of our people is really close. They're right there. But we need more people's help, you know. I mean, all people in the world right now were being persecuted and being thrown into this state, global and corporate takeover. You know? They want to be free. They want what we need. They desire that, you know. They know it can happen. They even know in their prophecies it's going to happen. So I call you from all nations, indigenous people of the world, you know, to understand that this is the time. If you believe it's going to happen, you need to get over here and stand with us and bring this message to the whole world, you know, that we want a new existence, that we want to be free. We want all these wars to stop. We want to start living in a way that encourages life and the individual to do better. We want to give him every means available to us to give to him, whether it's monetarily or whatever it is, for every individual child, I don't care what race, to be able to have those things he needs to progress in his life and to become more human. Because we're not human now. We used to be. Our people used to be human, but we lost that. So we have to, you know, slowly bring our everybody back into their own humanity and into their own skin by acknowledging them that their lives are important, that without their race, without their culture, without their religion, without all this wisdom that's good, you know, that came from them, that God gave them directly just to them. Until we understand that's an important part of the whole puzzle of how we're going to come back in balance, you know, it ain't going to happen. They're going to find a way to demonize us and what we do, all of us who've been, you know, separated from each other because of these belief systems that are European, you know, imperialist, you know, empires, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's just crazy. It's just, listen, this is so foreign to this planet. The kind of governments, okay? This ain't the kind of government's going to be here in the end, okay? There's no way. And this world and this earth ain't going to be all messed up and polluted because God's going to heal it all. I've seen it. Seen it happen. Seen everything's going to happen. So it's going to be a great world, but we need to do more work on ourselves. Kids in prison, you know? Men in prison, you know? Think about being a good father. Maybe with your sons and your daughter, you know, daughters, but in prison, be a good father to somebody there, you know. Your prison buddy, you know, be a father, be a good father. You know how you'd want it if you had a father. Be that person. Be that kind of heart to your children so that they know that there is hope for them and hope for you. And every and listen, we wouldn't have prisons if you didn't have a corrupt society, right? A system of corruption, a system that's non-human. It's a non-human system. If it was human, it would be generally or genuine. It'd be genuine in its generosity. It wouldn't be like, you know, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. You know, it wouldn't be the good old boys club. All this kind of crap, you know. The cronism runs deep in white society. They've held power for a long time, you know, and won't trust nobody. But they need to start trusting our people, our circle of life, our teaching, our value systems, our stories of morality and values and principles that maintain the universe, maintains the honor of men, you know, and their purpose and their cause for God on this earth, this sacred earth. And but I want to tell hopefully our children understand that man, I'm telling you, you are so powerful when you come to understand yourself as a red race of people. God wants you to be so happy and proud of that. But he wants you to be that way and find that in a humble way, a real sincere love for him and what he loves about us. When we start loving what God loves about us, we're going to start loving ourselves. No?
That's right. That's right.
We're going to start loving ourselves. We start seeing how God sees us and what he loves about us. And we say, yeah, that's cool, you know. Okay, man. I'm a rapper, and I have these great lyrics of freeing and democratizing this world and making it more free and more indigenous, you know. You know, he uses that. He can use that, you know, but we have to maintain it in the foundation of our spiritual belief system, you know, that relationship with God. That's where it's rooted, and all those other things. You know, from the roots, you get the tree and you get the limbs and then you get the flowers and things start blossoming again, you know. And then you get a lot of good fruit. America needs this for their white children, too. I feel sorry for them. You know how many homeless children there are in this country? This is uncalled for. Those people with all that money, they can't tell me white America and these leading politicians, they give a shit about these kids and go to bed and say they really care about these children. They're lying. Shame on them. They have no right to deny any child of his basic human rights and God-given right to self-sustain himself in a dignified fashion. But America, all it, you know, these teachers, these educators, they don't know. They don't know about honor, this new
That's
generation.
Right.
They don't know about honor.
Hey, Wombly?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. We probably ought to wrap it up. I've got a few minutes left, and we got some after-show messages that might want to hear. But appreciate you.
Yeah, yes. Well.
Great show. Good points. Excellent, excellent. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Yep,
I appreciate you guys, too. You know, I guess I was just kind of talking on and on. What I really like to do with my friends and colas over there is, you know, out there, please remember, we need to rest now, okay? It's okay to rest and come together, all right? This is time to do great things. If we miss this moment, then we're gonna miss it all. It'll be over. We won't get another chance.
That's right.
So we got to come together now and rise up in this unconditional love for each other and knowing that we both are here for a purpose. All races, we're here for a great purpose to make this world really something that could be, you know, something that we all could be proud of, you know, and be more free.
and really free and caring and compassionate. But we need that compassion. But, you know, I thank you guys.
You bet. You know, for hey, we'll get together again.
Okay. Am I on the radio yet, right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get together again. The show's, show's archived.
Okay, everyone out there. Okay, yep. I appreciate you all. Yeah, I hope someday I get to pray in the sweat lodge with you. And then need be. And if you ever need any prayers or something, or you need anything from me that way, let me know.
You're on the Seattle area?
Well, I'm out in Seattle right now. Yeah, I come here in the winter, and then I go back home in the summer.
Yeah, my son lives in town. Maybe I can get him to come over and tend fire.
Yeah, tell him to come up here. You know, and that's another thing. I want people interested. If they want to help me to start these horse camps, you know, let me know. I'd like to start one up here on Lopez Island in Washington at some point. But we're going to start all that back there. When I get back to the pipeline, you know, to the Sacred Stone, I think some great things are going to happen, but I'm calling all our traditional people to come to be there this summer, you know.
Hey, we'll get you back. We'll get you back on the air when you get back over there.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay.
take it easy. Filamea.
God bless all of you. Love all you guys. We're
good
doing
night, everybody.
Good,
good
night,
everybody.
You guys are good warriors, boy. See you later.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, hope ahead.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. And you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
reality of freedom, the illusion. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
On the dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away is a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone and the valley. Mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. One with me.